for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All may stand for the entrance.
Deep
places of the earth. The strength of the hills is given also. The sea is his, and he may claim it, and his hand formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort them in all temptations. Defend them against all enemies of your word. And bestow on the church your saving grace, your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The readings for this, the Festival of the Reformation, are found in your bulletin. The Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah 31, reading from the 31st verse. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Here ends the reading.
Amen.
The epistle reading is from Romans 3, reading from the 19th verse. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Here ends the reading.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel is found in the Evangelist St. John, the 8th chapter, reading from the 31st verse. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we will be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Here ends the gospel.
We now confess our faith using the Apostles' Creed on page 7 in your bulletin.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Turn in your hymnal, the front part of your hymnal, to page 134. And we are going to read the text, Psalm 46, in the top left corner, responsively, whole verse by whole verse, which means I'll read the first little paragraph, the congregation will read the second, then therefore to the close. And Psalm 46 is our text. So Psalm 46 on page 134 in the front of your hymnal. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. He maketh wars to cease and to the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Here ends the text, Psalm 46. You'll find it printed on the back of the bulletin insert where the choir numbers are. I wanted to read it out of there for a reason. I wanted it on the back for another reason. 19th century Baptist preacher Spurgeon says Psalm 46 would have been called the Psalm of Holy Confidence if not for Luther's love of it and use of it in Mighty Fortress. In dismal times, Luther would say to Philip Melanchthon, "Come, let us sing Psalm 46." And they would sing it as Luther had paraphrased it in his hymn. So Psalm 46, says Spurgeon, has ever since been known as Luther's Psalm. In these times when everything seems shaky, let's make it our Psalm of Holy Confidence. We start as fat as Martin Luther. That was a popular 16th century saying. It was inspired by the marked contrast between Luther's first portraits and his married ones. You've seen them, the gaunt, half-starved Luther and the round-faced, chubby one. While an Anglican historian has the dividing line between unmarried and married life, I think it's between Luther serving the law as a means to be saved and discovering the gospel, that a man lives by faith in what Christ has done for him. I say this because Luther's outward life did not get easier as he aged and confessed the gospel. We all remember that Luther said, "I cannot and will not recant, God help me." But hardly anyone remembers Emperor Charles V's reply. "I have decided to mobilize everything against Luther, my kingdoms and dominions, my friends, my body, blood, and my soul." We think of the first three centuries of the church as being hard and dangerous, and they were. However, 18th century English historian Edward Gibbon says, "It must be allowed that the number of Protestants who were executed in a single province and a single reign far exceeded that of the primitive martyrs in the space of three centuries and of all the Roman Empire. In the Netherlands alone, Charles V killed more than 100,000 Protestants. In the midst of so much tension, so much death, so much uncertainty, Luther sung of God as his refuge, as his strength, and as his help. The psalmist sung of God being these in trouble." The New American Standard says that it's literally tight places. Does that fit or what? That's the very nature of stress, isn't it? You feel cramped, you feel surrounded, you feel trapped. If it's not personal problems, it's world, national, or political ones. If it's not my medical matters, it's someone else's or the threat of them. We are living in a state of disease. Our word comes from the old French disease, literally dis and ease, lack of ease. Fat Martin Luther lived in times like ours. There was political discord between the German princes, the Pope, and Charles V. The Ottoman Turks, they were the Islamic terrorists of his day, and they were literally at the gates. And you want to talk about a pandemic? Bubonic plague was regularly making the rounds through Wittenberg. Google the death of Magdalena. It's a painting. It's Luther, it's Lucas Cranach's depiction of fat Martin Luther at the deathbed of his 13-year-old daughter. And yet, he sang, "Will not we fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and the mountains quake." The God-inspired title of the psalm says it's to be sung in soprano or even in a shrill tone. Hear a powerful, soaring soprano voice singing this in an aria flying high above the earth, changed by fires and hurricanes, above the shaking political mountains, above the seas of life roiled by pandemics, civil unrest, and militant unbelief. All these preach, be concerned, be afraid, be panicked. The voice soars on, "Will not we fear?" The next stanza marked off by zela in Hebrew, which is probably a musical term indicating a pause, a sound, or an accent, makes me feel like a Martian. That's the second stanza. In the early days of the Reformation, 1521 to 1522, people who followed Luther were generally called Martinians. I know Martinians is not the same as Martians, but I can't hear the former without thinking the latter. And to sing triumphantly in the face of such shaking, roaring, foaming, and tightening, you have to be on another planet. And that's how the second stanza makes me feel. From an earth shaking and reeling, I'm transported to a river, branching off to many streams, all flowing from the city of God, the dwelling places of the most holy, of the most high God. In the midst of her means she will not be moved. God in the midst of her means she will not be moved. Even though nations make an uproar, even though earthly kingdoms teeter, when our God raises his voice, the earth itself melts. How cool is that? In C.S. Lewis's Space Trilogy, two of the books are set on other planets. One is Mars, the other is Venus. In an Alice in Wonder-like way, Lewis describes reality on these other worlds. Down is up, left is right, water is not wet, and light is not light. It's very disorienting. And to sing Psalm 46, while the very mountains you stand on are being shaken into the heart of the sea, you have to be in a different reality. Whether Martinian or Martian, you are. Luther lived in a reality where his redemption and salvation were sure. They were in the hands of Jesus, not the Pope or Emperor, and certainly not his own. They could threaten him with the loss of goods, fame, child, and wife. Let these all be gone. They still had nothing won, because the kingdom, his remains. The Lord of hosts is with you. The God of Jacob was his stronghold. Luther said that if his opponents really knew him, they would threaten him with life, not death. When a German prince offered to send troops to protect him, Luther declined, saying that he would send the word of God to protect his troops. That's crazy talk. And what do you expect from people who believe the voice of God can not only melt the earth, but make water regenerative, words forgiving, and his body bread and his blood wine? What do you expect from a people who live in a reality where angels and archangels and all the company of heaven come down to earth and worship with them each Sunday? What do you expect from people who have died to the reality of sin, death, and the devil, and whose life is now hid with Christ above? What do you expect from a people who have been plunged underwater and rather than drowned, they live? What do you expect from people who hear the forgiving voice of God from the mouth of a man? What do you expect from people who eat and drink the body and blood of their God and yet taste bread, wine, life, and forgiveness? Dorothy, we're not in Kansas anymore. While the second stanza speaks of how everything changes for those whom the Lord is with, the third stanza, that's the change. An early 20th century Lutheran seminary professor said that the term reformer didn't do justice to Luther's singular importance. Protestants will speak of Luther, Calvin, Huss, and Wycliffe as if they're equals. Johann Roy didn't think that was right, so he preferred to call Luther not a reformer, but the reformator. Last stanza, we were on another planet as Martians or Martinians. In this third stanza, we're back on Earth, but now we're with a superhero character, the reformator. I know, you're right. Luther would not like this, but stick with me. The psalm speaks a lot about God, Elohim. That is God as he can be known in nature and to all, the God of power and might. Last stanza ended speaking of the Lord of hosts. That Lord of hosts is the word Sabaoth. This is the Lord God of Sabaoth we sing of in the communion liturgy. This is Yahweh, the God of promise and grace we know of only in the person and work of Jesus. Come behold the works of your Jesus. He works desolations on earth. The reformator knew very well that would happen. Luther didn't think he himself was doing anything. He famously said the word did everything while he and Melanchthon drank beer in Wittenberg. All he did by God's grace was let the word out. And he knew that the result of the pure gospel of forgiveness of sins by grace through faith being preached would be desolations. The devil, the world, and our own flesh, they don't care if good works, loving thy neighbor, good stewardship, or feeding the poor, they don't care if all that gets preached. They only rise up against that which destroys them, the gospel. And boy, did they. Read the history of the religious wars that followed the Reformation. Oh, what a stain they are on the history of the church. They were the result of the devil, the world, and our flesh rising up in rebellion, persecution, and hatred of the gospel that the Reformator let loose on their kingdoms. But there is also a sense that Christ did work desolation on the earth. Read Daniel chapter 2. The rock made without human hands, conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit, destroys all worldly kingdoms while establishing an otherworldly kingdom of peace and righteousness. Yes, God descends into this man-made hell of sin, death, and devil in holy flesh and blood and lives a holy life under the duress, under the temptation, under the persecution of all three. Again and again, people were forced to admit that Jesus had done nothing wrong. Yet, to the cross and hell that sinners such as us deserve, he went. And God and sin and death and devil punished him as if he were us. They tortured, they whipped, they beat, they nailed, they roasted and damned him till all of God's wrath against sin and sinners was satisfied. God was at peace now with the world that rebelled against him. And he showed this and proclaimed it by raising Jesus from the dead on the third day, and that changed everything. So the proclamation goes out in the end of stanza 3. Cease striving. The New American Standard has a marginal note, or let go, relax. It's why you can do that that the reformator championed. It's knowing that Jesus is God, the Yahweh of armies is with us. Yahweh is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is Yahweh. Luther delighted in saying such startling things as, I know of no God apart from Jesus Christ. And if you can find God anywhere apart from the man Jesus, he is not God for you or with you at that place. If you want to show your Protestants, and particularly your non-denominational friends, the difference between a confessional Lutheran and them, say such things as that. You can even show them the difference in their translation of A Mighty Fortress that they sing. We sing, for us fights the valiant one. You ask, who is this? Jesus Christ it is, and there's none other God. Look at what they sing. We're not the right man on our side. You ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he, from age to age the same. They don't confess what we do. The confidence expressed in Psalm 46 is holy because it's based on the holy man who is God with us and for us forever. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and the life everlasting. Amen. We sing the offertory on page 8. Especially as we pray the litany on page 661 are listed in your bulletin. After the litany, we have several collects for people with special needs. We remember Alan Lubeck, who's getting radiation treatment for residual prostate cancer. Remember the family of Becca Goy, that's Matthew's sister-in-law, who passed away on Wednesday. And it has pleased Almighty God to call to himself the soul of our brother in Christ, Bob Johnson, on October 8th. We remember his family in prayer. We also remember Vanessa Lubeck, who is hospitalized with heart failure. You're invited to kneel as we pray the collect on page 661.
Let us pray. O Lord,
have mercy on us.
O Christ,
have mercy on us.
O Lord,
have mercy on us.
O Christ,
hear us.
O God the Father in heaven,
have mercy on us.
O God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
O God the Holy Ghost,
have mercy on us.
Be gracious unto us.
Spare us, O Lord.
Be gracious unto us.
Help us, O
all sin, from all error, from all evil.
The Lord, deliver us.
From the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death.
The Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of thy holy incarnation, by thy holy nativity, by thy baptism, fasting, and temptation, by thine agony and bloody sweat, and by thy cross and passion, by thy precious death and burial, by thy glorious resurrection and ascension, by the coming of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death and in the day of judgment, we poor sinners do beseech thee.
Hear us, O Lord God.
And to rule and govern thy holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of thy church in the true knowledge and understanding of thy word and in holiness of life, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all such as have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into thy harvest, to accompany thy word with thy spirit and grace, to raise up them that fall, and to strengthen such as do stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed. To give all nations peace and concord, to preserve our country from discord and contention, to give to our nation perpetual victory over all its enemies, and to direct and defend our president and all in authority, and to bless and keep our magistrates and all our people. To behold and succor all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect all who travel by land, water, or air, to preserve all women in the perils of childbirth, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to set free all who are innocently imprisoned, to defend and provide for all fatherless children and widows, to have mercy upon all men. To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve to our youth the fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayer. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, O Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy on us.
O Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy on us.
O Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world,
grant
us thy peace. O Christ,
hear
us. O Lord,
have mercy on us.
O Christ,
have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Amen. And as thy mercies are new every morning, O Lord, because of what Jesus suffered in the dark night of our sins for us and our salvation, so we are bold to ask for thy blessings upon Alan's and Vanessa's treatment and recovery. May these be to thy glory and their temporal and eternal well-being. Lord, in thy mercy. And we thank and praise thee, O Lord, that thou hast called our brother and sister to the knowledge of thy dear Son, kept them in the true faith, and granted them a blessed end. We pray that thou would comfort the families with the knowledge of the resurrection of the dead, of the world without end, and of the life everlasting. Lord, in thy mercy. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
All may be seated for the offertory. For the offering, we're not passing the plate. You're welcome to take your offering back to the table or just put in the plate and wait.
Thank you.
the communion statement and bulletin. Well, Paul, we are celebrating Holy Communion this morning because of the sad division that exists in Christianity today. We can't invite all of you to the Lord's table. We Trinity practice closed communion, which means to commune active members of Trinity and those guests have been invited to commune prior to the service. If your guests are not spoken to before, please do not come forward to receive communion. We continue the proper preface on the bottom of page 8. Please stand.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And now we praise you that you sent us your only begotten Son, and that in him being found in fashion as a man, you manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.
Here's the admonition to communicants. I admonish you in Christ that you discern the testament of Christ in true faith, and above all, to take to heart the words wherein Christ imparts to us his body and blood for the remission of our sins. That you remember and give thanks for his boundless love, which he proved to us when he redeemed us from God's wrath, sin, death, and hell by his own blood. And that in this faith you sternly receive the bread and wine, i.e. his body and his blood, as a pledge and guarantee of this. In his name, therefore, and according to the command that he gave, let us use and receive his testament. Amen.
Thank you.
God strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and the life everlasting. Take drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who shed for the remission of all of your sins. Take drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who shed for the remission of all of your sins. Take drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who shed for the remission of all of your sins. Take drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who shed for the remission of all of your sins. Take drink. Blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shed for the remission of all your sins, the blood of Christ, who shed for your sins. May this body and this blood strengthen, preserve you in the true faith and the life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Thank you.
Blood, strength, and preserving of the true faith, the life everlasting, depart
in peace.
Amen.
Preserve you in the true faith, the life everlasting, depart in peace.
We stand for the Thanksgiving on page 11.
Take me the salvation.
blossom in action for God and for all. His grace did invite us, His love shall unite us to work for God's kingdom and answer His call.
Lord, bless thee and keep thee. Lord, make his face shine upon thee and gracious unto thee. Lord, lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Thank you.
Be seated. We have the Reformation dinner for those who signed up today. Happy hour at 3, dinner at 5-ish. And in light of that, our grill, we had to replace our grill yesterday. And, you know, they don't come assembled. So it needs to be assembled after service. I'm looking for volunteers. I told Christiana, if the Jehovah Witnesses can assemble a whole Kingdom Hall in a weekend, we can surely do a grill in 2 hours. yes, budget meeting 6:30. And where am I right now? Okay, Bob Johnson will have a graveside funeral Thursday, October 29th. That's this Thursday, 3 p.m. at Cook Walden Capitol Memorial Park, Pflugerville. The family's having it outside. The congregation is invited. It's not meant to be a private service. And so they wanted me to tell you that. You can also, this is going to be streamed live from the Cook Walden website. I don't really know how any of that works, but from what they told me, you go to Bob's name, and then there'll be a link where you can stream it live if you'd rather do that. Thank you.